And welcome, friends, to this, the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. We're back in our studios after a week away for EuroCon, and of course, great to be back here with the Grace Hour live, and great to be back with you folks that are tuning in and listening around the globe. Thanks so much for joining us for today's broadcast as we continue to develop our theme here in the Grace Hour and the importance of, well, again, a theme that I think all of us can identify with, how we respond to God during challenging times, difficult times, when things are not exactly going the way that we would like them to go. How do we respond to God during those times when grief, pain, heartache, challenges beyond our capacity to deal with them, things of that nature begin to take place in our lives? Well, the Scripture, again, has a blueprint for us and can lead us through our grief, through our trouble, through our heartache, through our brokenness, and always, of course, leads us to our answer, which is Christ Himself. So we'll be developing this theme all week long here on the Grace Hour, and grateful that you're joining us, and we hope that many of you will do just that today following the devotional portion of our broadcast. We'll open the phone lines, as we have done now for many, many years here at the Grace Hour, and invite you in to join us. And you can join us simply by getting to a phone, dialing one of the following numbers, and share your thoughts with us. It could be a comment, a question, a testimony, counseling need. Your prayer requests, of course, are always welcome right here on the Grace Hour. And here are the numbers. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. So if you're listening in Canada, the United States, please feel free to dial that toll-free number and join us on the broadcast. The local number for those of you listening here in the greater Baltimore area is 410-483-3700. And if you're, again, listening in the state of Maryland, give us a call on that local number. I want to welcome all of you that are listening on the internet live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and the many, many other platforms which you can tune in and listen to the Grace Hour live. Appreciate all of you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon, and hope you'll stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. And then, when those phone lines are open, take advantage of that opportunity to join us on our broadcast. So, again, thanks for being with us. Looking forward to developing this theme with you throughout the week. And as we get started today, I think just turning to the Psalm 31. There are many psalms in the Scripture where the psalmists declare their trouble, their cry out unto God, and then, of course, faith is developed following their pouring their hearts out to God and expressing those emotions that sometimes are overwhelming. But I'm also grateful that the psalms are so true to the reality that all of us experience in our lives. We go through some and much that is found in the Psalms, and we can identify with them. For example, in Psalm 31, David wrote this psalm. He cried out in verse 9 and said, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, as well as my soul and emotions. My life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. And they did see me without running from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. And while they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." And then in verse 14, he says, "But I have trusted in you, O Lord, and I have said, Thou art my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent." And on this beautiful psalm goes and helps us to understand in a very practical way how it was that David poured out his heart unto the Lord, lamenting of all that was happening and taking place in his life. And yet, we see, again, the pouring out of his complaint before the Lord, but at the same time, the confession of trusting in God, waiting upon God, believing that God was going to, again, deal with those who opposed him, those that devised to take away his life. This is, a blueprint for all of us, whereby we can see the cries of those that are trusting God, and yet at the same time understand all that they go through. And I've always thought it's practical and helpful when we turn to God and tell him everything that's in our hearts. Because we have this good shepherd, this great shepherd of the sheep, and he wants us to turn to him, and he wants to each of us to pour our hearts out unto him. The problem is that many times we don't turn to the great shepherd of our sheep. We turn to other sheep, and oftentimes that is in vain. It's empty. Oh, they may hear what we have to say, and they may sympathize with us, but sometimes it can actually create an ongoing effect as far as our complaining and lamenting is concerned, because the sheep can't necessarily be of any help. Now, don't misunderstand me. We are told in the scripture to love one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, so we can turn to the body of Christ and find all of that and more. But yet at the same time, God is interested that we come before him, pour our hearts out unto him, without the fear of condemnation, without the fear of rejection, but just bring all of our cares, if you will, and lay them before Jesus. We read of that, 1 Peter mentions that, the 5th chapter, and he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So whatever form these troubles take, and however you wish to express them, always, first and foremost, go to God himself. Pour your heart out unto the Lord. And then if God creates a provision and a possibility for those concerns and troubles and all of that grief and pain with others, well, that's just an added blessing. But let him know where your heart is. And don't be afraid to approach him, because we read about it everywhere in the Psalms. Those who wrote these Psalms felt at liberty to approach God and to say, this is what I'm going through. This is what's in my heart. This is what's happening in my life. And of course, you could imagine that sometimes they would even have to say, God, all of this is happening, and I know it's my fault. I've made bad decisions that have led me to this place. But again, that's what God wants to hear. That it's almost more of a confession when we do that before God. And then his power to deliver, his power to help, his power to heal, again, is just beautifully portrayed in the Psalms as well. So when we are reminded of the fact, and I'm thinking of a passage in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and there we read of the fact that, you know, God is reminding us that, verse 6 says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. And that's such a beautiful portion of scripture to remember. Verse 5, of course, the B part reminds us that God says, I'm never, ever, ever going to leave you or forsake you, and I am your helper. When you cry, I will come running. And that brings us to a place where we say, you know what? There is no need for fear to overcome my soul. I don't need to worry about what man can do unto me. Because think about it. What can men do to us? They can lie about us. They can steal from us. You know, there are some things that men can do to us. They can slander us. They can ridicule us, persecute us, despise us, hate us. But let's remember, God is our helper. He is on our side. And we should boldly make that proclamation. We don't have to have fear dominate our souls when we are trusting in God. But the point being today and throughout this week, yes, we can pour our hearts out unto God. He cares, He listens, and He wants to make a difference in our lives. And again, almost every psalm where the psalmist cries out and is in trouble and needs help, turns to God, every psalm that begins with pain seems to generally end in praise, thanking God for His provision, thanking God that He is present, that He is there, and He will be there for each and every one of us, so that we too may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my redeemer, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my provision. The Lord will never leave me or forsake me. And we're all brought to that place where we say, I will not fear what men will do unto me. So just a few thoughts to get us started today on our Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour, friends. Again, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, if you will, of some of the things that may happen in our lives and how we can approach them with God and bring them before Him and know that He hears our cry. And when we cry out unto the Lord, you know, that beautiful promise from God, His ear is bent into the prayers of those that call upon Him. And we can have the confidence knowing that God hears us and that God stands ready to help us and that God will come running just as we cry out unto Him. And he will redeem, just as He's redeemed our lives from sin and from eternal damnation. He's ready to redeem our lives in a very practical way when we find ourselves up to our necks, or even in some cases in trouble over our heads. God is our great rescuer. So we're grateful. And Lord, we just pray that You continue to bless our broadcast today and all of those that are tuning in live on the internet at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and all of the other platforms that the Grace Hour has the opportunity to be heard on. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Pastor Schaller is also back from Eurocon, and he's joining us in the studio today on this Tuesday afternoon. And welcome back, Pastor.
Yeah, Pastor Love, I think your words and the theme, it resonates with us because we were just in Poland at the train station in Warsaw, and we saw people, actually thousands of people, who had been driven from their homes in the Ukraine from the war and the fighting. Pastor Love, you met some people. They had lost everything, correct? Their car, their home, their jobs, that people aren't working there because there is a state of war. And so is that real sorrow?
Boy, it was. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The tears, and to think that they were driven from their homes, from their cities and towns, and all they had were, you know, a few bags or a suitcase, the clothes on their back, and nothing more. And, of course, the most startling part of it, Pastor, was they were all women and children.
Yeah.
No men. The men stayed back and were fighting those that were bombing their towns and cities.
Yeah. So if you talk about God, then you raise a very important theme, and that is how does God relate to our sorrow? And we can't cover it up. It's real, and you can't deny it. When you have real sorrow, it's not to be denied. It's the theme of the Psalms in the category of lamentation, or a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. That's the definition for lament. And so why are there laments in the Bible? Why are there passionate expressions of grief and sorrow? But because life has that. And Jesus said in John 16:33, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Meaning sorrow is here, and you can go down through a list, losing a child, losing a loved one, losing many children, as in the case of Job, losing your country, your livelihood, your possessions, your home, your health, losing a job, foreclosing on a house. There's real reason for us to go to God with our sorrow. There can be the idea that the Bible is about victory, about praising God, about prayer, about being thankful, about prosperity, about healing, and so on. But actually, we know in life that's not always the case. And here's the thing. We may not be very good at lamenting. We Christians might be thinking, we need to be praising the Lord and have victory all the time. And of course, in a qualified way, that's true. But then what about our sadness? What about our sorrows, our fears, disappointments? What about real pain? We may not be very good at it. So why? Maybe because we don't know the Psalms that well, and we can't really label a psalm of lamentation and make it relevant to our own hearts. So that's what our radio program is about. Lament, as one pastor said, is the honest cry of a hurting heart, wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness. So if you see, as Pastor Love, you did while we were in Poland, if you see people wrestling with the fact that they are in pain and sadness, and yet they believe God is good, you know, they are wrestling with, how did this happen to me? And yet I believe that God is good. So Psalm 13 is a psalm that I chose today for this theme based on my notes here. So if we turn there to Psalm 13. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? It's what we feel when we are in pain. And these Ukrainians, I think, are a good example of people who could say to God, how long will this be going on that you will hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? You know, reflecting, reflecting in my own soul, having sorrow in my heart daily. So, Pastor Love, let's talk about that for a moment. Does somebody have sorrow in their heart for an hour or 2 hours, or is it daily? And when does it leave?
Yeah, I mean, there's no telling, but it can be daily, and it can go on in some cases for weeks, months, maybe even years,
mm-hmm.
which is overwhelming when you think about that, but yet that's the reality in some believers' lives.
Don't you think it's important to be honest with God about our pain? Don't you think it's important that when we are suffering, we can acknowledge it and say we are suffering? This is hard. I'm crying day and night and saying, how long, when will this break? And I will return to praising God and being free in my spirit. But now this heaviness and this weight of sorrow is really real in my heart. So in the lamentation, we have number one is he is turning to God, and he is admitting honestly he is crying to God. Yeah, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So how about that, Pastor Love? Could we talk about being really directly as honest with God as possible?
I think honesty in the case of a believer approaching God is clearly the best policy. I think you mentioned it a moment ago, there are some believers that might even look at that kind of honesty as sinful. How could I really tell God how I feel? Because as you mentioned, believers are supposed to be, bright outlook, always happy, always contented. For them to think that they could pour out this kind of lamentation before God is unthinkable to them. So honesty, that's where it all begins, I think.
Okay. What exactly in this psalm do we understand? I have in my notes, it could be that David was sick. It could be a personal enemy like Saul or Absalom, or could be the loss of his son Absalom, that there was sorrow in David. We know when Absalom died, David said five times, "Oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, I would have died for thee." Very, very strong feelings of emotion and lamentation. So David is saying, I don't want to sleep the sleep of death. I don't want to get buried in my sorrow and in a way fall asleep to God, but I would like to bring it open it up before God. And turning to God, when you suffer, really turn to God and wait on God, you know. Like this waiting on God, trusting in God when you're in trouble. Have you ever heard, Pastor Love, of a Christian being depressed, falling into a depression?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
It happens.
Okay. And how does he get out of it?
I think it may begin with, just bringing whatever it is that troubles him or her before God. And I think that we just have to start being occupied with God's thoughts about us, God's love toward us, God's acceptance of us, and just consistently building ourselves up in the truth about who God says we are and what his thoughts are about us. I think it has the power to lift us out of that depression.
Would you say there are people that fall into depression and they withdraw from church? There are people that just back off and they withdraw actually not only from church but from God. They kind of harbor some bitterness in their heart toward God or what had happened to them. Hebrews 12:15. It can happen, even the best believer. And then you, in your depression and alienation, you struggle now with these thoughts, God doesn't care. Friends don't care. You are hurt, nobody cares. And so the depressed person stays at home on Sunday. And there's kind of a sense of alienation. And the anger can be going in many directions. It goes toward God, towards yourself, towards your friends, towards the people that love you. But let's go back to the whole idea of bringing it before God and just saying, here it is. Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Here it is. My sorrow, my depression, my sadness. And now I would like to navigate this thing with God helping me. God help me, you know. I'm in trouble. So this is why the Psalms are filled with lamentations. Psalm 42 is another one. Psalm 6, another one. Psalm 42 was the North Face of God. I mean, there was a book written called The North Face of God. It's the Mount Everest climb up the North Face. It's on the China side of the mountain, the hardest climb. And in a way, God invites us to relate to him with our sorrow. And that, I don't know that we're that good at it. You know, we may be good at rejoicing, we may be good at singing, we may be good at church attendance, we may be good at studying the Bible, but are we good at lamentation? Are we good at sorrow and depression? And I would say some depression comes on us because of our wrong thinking, but some other just because of the pain of life and the bad times and the hard times. Now, here's another catch. If you're not good at lamentation and bringing honestly crying before God with your pain and your sorrow, then it's very possible that you turn to the worldly methods of dealing with that pain and sorrow. And that's drugs and alcohol and carnal ways of navigating with the sorrow and maybe never really finding the comforter, the Holy Spirit guiding, leading you in faith and enriching your life as you go through this period. So don't let that happen to you. Don't let your lamentation draw you to artificial, or even if they are effective emotionally, you need to process it in your heart and mind through God's mind, God's heart, and not blame God, not excuse yourself, but actually God said to Job, "Stand up, I require of you," in Job 38, chapters 1. Stand up, again, I think in 39. Stand up, I'm talking to you, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. And God being the counselor. So we have Psalm 13, verse 4. "Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Okay. "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." You know, maybe, Pastor Love, turning to God in your sorrow is one of the deepest and most important exercises of belief in God. You know, this is like in the book of Job. It wasn't in the good times, it was in the bad times, the trials, when he turned to God. Maybe this is where God wants us to really find him. So we have the honesty of being depressed or sad or hurt or deeply. And again, I can't help but think of the Ukrainians who really, they looked, some of them did look shell-shocked as immigrants in Warsaw going on to their new life in Europe somewhere, many not knowing where they were going. Is that right, Pastor?
That's correct.
Because you talked to a lot of them.
Yes.
Personally.
Yeah, they did.
You were there for hours every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of them, when you asked them, some said, "Yes, I'm going to Germany." Some said, "I'm going to Romania, I'm going to different countries," but then there were others that said, "I've been in this train station for 12 days now, and we don't know where we're going. We have no place to go." It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got to be honest with God. I got to cry out to him. I'm not covering it up. He doesn't want you to. It's not artificial. He doesn't want you to. He's the one that we are to be the most real with. I mean, he knows everything. He knows what it is that we're looking at, what we feel. And he wants us to be, you know, very honest and very transparent before him. And yet, trust him. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, when do you think people would come out of their depression, Pastor Love? And how does that happen?
Well, I think, as you said, beginning with honesty and then maybe just waiting upon God, because I think maybe people that fall into this depression or have such great crises in their lives, they may begin with the question to God, which is, why? Why are these things happening? But then if there's no relief initially, the question changes, and then it becomes, how long? How long? And when that happens, now they're in it, and they have to endure it. But waiting upon God is such a healthy thing to do, because God can do so much while we're waiting upon him. And then, of course, he gives us that great promise in Isaiah 40:31. Those that wait upon God, they will find that their strength is renewed. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run, and they'll not be weary. They'll walk, and they won't faint. So it could be that it's a process. If it's an immediate, praise God. But I think all too often we have to, as you said, just kind of reacclimate our souls towards God, towards his promises, and just, again, beginning all of it with pouring our hearts out, which is something that he wants us to do. Don't be artificial. Don't be phony. Tell him so that he can bring help in a very specific way.
Let's go back to the idea of, maybe we used to say in the ministry, sublimation, like we kind of cover up our pain by going shopping or going to recreation, and we don't have a still, quiet communion with God, maybe an hour of prayer or quietness and bringing it all before God. Have you ever, Pastor Love, kind of been, you know, run off to do maybe entertainment, or maybe you run off to activity, maybe you run off and you cover up maybe something that's kind of nagging you inside? Maybe you need to come to God. You are maybe sad, but you need to process it through God. But you're substituting other things for God.
Yeah, that's the whole idea behind that sublimation. As you said, it could be entertainment, shopping, drinking, celebrating in some way,
boyfriend,
shape, or form.
Girlfriend.
Yes, of course. Diving deeper into a relationship that won't necessarily bring any relief to the real issues of your life.
Don't you think I should recognize that, recognize that and get really quiet before God and just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for healing me. Right? I need you. I trust you. I need you to heal me and fill me with your spirit. You know that song, 1 hour of prayer, or I come to the garden alone while the dew is fresh on the roses. Yeah, this is a beautiful. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go shopping, we shouldn't take a vacation, or medications have a place, maybe. It depends on your doctor and what you yourself are thinking. But I would warn all of us that we would acknowledge the sorrow, be very open with God about it. This is Psalm 42. Psalm 6, Psalm 13. There are many psalms where the Lord is kind of saying to us, I know how you're feeling. Let me step into your shoes. Write these prayers, knowing this is how you should pray, and read these prayers, and say, how long, Lord? How long? You know, like I know you are feeling that, and that these are your thoughts. How long, oh Lord, how long? And that I'm going to comfort you. You're going to acknowledge my reality. You're going to be comforted by me. You're going to acknowledge that this is happening in your heart. You're going to seek me. And by the way, I think that lamentation is part of God's leading for us, that he leads us in this. It isn't right to think that God is only, it's like party time when God is around. There's a lot of hallelujahs. There are a lot of peace and comfort. There is. But what about these dear people who are really in tears?
I think you mentioned it, but anything apart from God and his mercy as the way to be delivered and the way of relief are just lying vanities. That verse in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Mercy is the way out. And I mean, God says his mercies endure forever. It would be a healthy practice if we said to him, God, I don't see how this depression can be lifted. I don't see how there's any way out of this trouble, but your promise is that mercy is there. Mercy will come. Mercy will deliver me. Mercy endures forever. So I'm going to look to that mercy and trust you for it. And if you choose any other path, it's all lying vanity. It's all empty, and it will not deliver.
Do you think ever in David's life that he ever felt forsaken by God?
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's what it means. Where are you, God? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? That's Psalm 13, verse 1. Did David honestly feel forgotten? Did he actually feel, did he just, the darkness, could it turn to bitterness, abandonment by David, like I'm done? Or did he cry out and really expect God to answer him? It looks like he did. And he would say, he prayed that verse in 13:3, O Lord, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So he had hope.
He did.
Yeah.
And it was grounded in who God was. Well, friends, phone lines are open. You can join us anytime. Just pick up a phone and dial one of those numbers, 800-338-7060. And locally, here in the Baltimore area, state of Maryland, 410-483-3700. And Sebastian, our engineer, mentioned to us the quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to arouse a deaf world. Great thought. Appreciate that, Seb. And let's go to our first caller today up in Port Chester, New York. Lauren has been waiting. Thanks for holding on, Lauren. Go ahead. You're on the Grace Hour.
Good afternoon, Pastor Levin. Welcome back, Pastor Seller. I just wanted to say I thought that Dr. Tim Keller had some very, very interesting insights on Psalm 88, you know, where the psalmist is going through a lot of trouble and doesn't seem like there's any relief coming up. And I quoted by, I don't know how I heard it the first time, but it's on my computer. I just say Psalm 88, Tim Keller, and then he can get right into it. And he has some very, very interesting insights about being honest towards God, even if the things you're saying don't sound all that reverent. So I was really taken back by that, and So I just wanted to say that. That's what's on my mind today.
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. That Psalm 88, when you read that psalm, it almost seems as though there is no way out, no hope. But yet we know with God there's always a way out, isn't there?
Well, Pastor Keller, he's pointed out how God sanctifies us for all that. So that was really what I want. That's to say for today.
Got it.
Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
That's so good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Pastor Love, Psalm 88, where Christ is in the pit the night before the crucifixion. The waves of death have overcome him. He's alone. Friend and lover are far from him. The loneliness of Psalm 88, the pain and the darkness of Psalm 88, in a pit, in a dark black pit the night before when he was arrested and he was brought to Caiaphas' house and put in that pit. And then the Psalm 88 describes that event. And this being similar to somebody in this life who was, let's say, facing cancer, dying in the hospital, waves of death are coming over me, maybe somebody in deep despair and darkness, depression, and Christ going through all of this and yet having his hope in God. But being all alone in the suffering, and then, of course, on the cross, out in the open, hanging from heaven, between the heavens and the earth, and seeing him there. This is a way of God identifying with all of our suffering. And therefore, let us be really honest before him and say, it's not going well. I am having a very hard time with this. I do not know why this is happening to me. Yet I trust you. So that's Psalm 22, verse 4. And that's how we live. It doesn't mean that automatically there's a deliverance. It just means that we are open with him, honest with him, and crying out to him very honestly. And that's important. Don't hide it. Don't bury it. Don't become anger, silent, withdraw, and become a bitter, angry person deep inside. While you act normal on the outside, when actually you have an issue with God in your heart, but bring it out and put it on the table and trust him.
Amen. Let's go to the callers once again. Tori is joining us from the Baltimore area, has a question. Tori, welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon, Pastor Shala. Good afternoon, Pastor Love. I just had a quick question. It's kind of off topic, but it's directed to this song that I keep hearing at Greater Grace. The song is called Reckless Love, and it's by Corey Asbury. And my question is God's love reckless? I know he has agape love for us, but
yeah.
My family, my grandma Oretta Carter, she goes to the church as well. My mom, they always tell me that this, you should, it's not the right word you should choose to define God's love, because the way we see it, we see reckless as not being careful. And like, for example, having a glass jar in your hand that you can easily drop it, and it's like, oops, like so easily.
Yeah.
So that was just my question. Like, is God's love reckless?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I agree with you. I kind of agree with you. When I sing that song in the church, and that love is, his love is reckless, I don't like that word that much. I don't think it's the best word to use for what they mean. I think what they mean is that it can take a risk, that love can take a risk, meaning that somebody is a sinful person and Christ came to save him, and he went out on a limb. He went very far to express love to him, but it's that sinner's own decision if he's going to respond to that love. So love takes a risk, but it's not reckless. Like we drive a car recklessly, but we don't love people recklessly. Some people, they are reckless, but I think God is careful. He's calculating. He does things decently and in order. He is spontaneous. He is willing to take a risk, and he loves that way, and he's aggressive in his love in the sense that I have stretched out my hands all the day long to a gainsaying and rebellious people. It's like he's really out there showing love, and he might win and he might not. This is all being said in a context, theological context. I mean, that means I realize that it would take me a long time to explain it thoroughly and completely theologically all that I'm trying to say, but I think you understand what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
George. Thanks. Tell your grandmother and mother what we said, and thank you for the call.
Amen.
Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate the call. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number anywhere in North America, friends. Let's go to Mexico City. Pastor Bruce Moon joining us live on the Grace Hour. Pastor Moon, welcome.
I'm going to be a little reckless.
Okay.
I kind of like the word. I think of a guy who puts all his chips on the table.
Yeah.
And somebody watching from, like, that guy's kind of crazy, or people said we were quite reckless when we came to Mexico with three kids, no support at all. And a lot of people actually said that, where even other missionaries told us, you're quite reckless. You know, you just came here with no money and three kids and you need to go back home. You need to go back home, they said. I mean, love, when you love, like, and you're willing to pay anything to win the love of someone, that looks reckless to people. I think that's the guy who wrote that song, that's his testimony. You should listen to his testimony, anybody that. It's really, really good. And it's kind of like based on the parable of the guy that bought the piece of land and with the treasury. He sold everything. He got rid of everything. And sure enough, people in that parable, I mean, it's a parable, but people would be looking at him saying, you are pretty wacko. But he did it. Because there was a treasure there. And that was us. And that's what the guy that wrote the song was kind of realizing when he was unsaved. He talked about that in that song. He's really talking about a salvation. So
wow, cool. Well, that's the other side. Thank you.
Yeah. But the topic today is absolutely unbelievably pertinent, and probably, I think, one of the most important things we could ever talk about is how we deal with suffering. And, you know, we dealt with drug addicts and alcoholics here in Mexico. Probably one-third of the men are alcoholics. What I've came to the conclusion is that all those kind of addictions, like you're saying very clearly, it has to do with the inability to deal with pain, number one. They don't know how to embrace the pain, like they say in the Marines, or they actually, the SEALs, they have it, actually, they use a different word. I won't say it. Embrace
thank
something
you,
else.
Thank you,
but,
thank you. Don't say it. Yeah. Don't say it.
But anyway, it's pretty funny every time they say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
go ahead.
Different mentality, and and we live in a culture today that runs from pain no matter what. And we have university students being indoctrinated, and if you say anything that would contradict the indoctrination they received, they need a safe room, they need coloring, crayons and a puppy to hold to feel better. That's kind of the way Christians are too in a lot of ways today. It's dangerous because we're heading into some big, heavy trouble, this world, and we need to learn to embrace the pain joyfully, like the scripture says, James 1, 2, right?
Yeah, count it all joy.
Come on. And you know, I was listening. I like military history, and there was this horrible battle in Papua New Guinea, and they had Australians and Americans, and General Doug MacArthur was making some really bad decisions, so he, as he often did. And so he sent this green troop to confront this horrible, like, the Japanese were ready with crossfire and everything, machine guns. And this troop, well, they were all like chipper, like, yeah, we got this. And they were slaughtered. But the Australian there on the other side, on the other flank, you know, they had just come back from Tobruk and other big battles. And they knew what it was to have battles and have your friends die. And, you know, and they were just like, bring the pain, just bring the pain. They were not chipper and all. And it's just a different attitude we need to have with suffering and be steel our nerves and get prepared for what's coming. And that part of hardness you were talking about, too, is huge, the root of bitterness in Hebrews, right? That's where the enemy can get his hook into you.
Yes.
And when things go south, you know, when things go south, then there's going to be all the accusation against men and against God, and that hardness will grow and the bitterness, and then you'll end up rejecting God.
Well said, Pastor Moon. Thanks for giving us a call. Great to hear from you.
You bet. Thank you.
Still have a few minutes left. If you'd like to give us a call, go right ahead. 410-483-3700.
I like what he said about this. Christians can be very good at praising God, very good in Bible doctrine, very good evangelism, very good in prayer, very good in a life of faith, very good in church activities and organization and everything. But the minute we get hurt, we have a hard time processing that. And that's a very good lesson for all of us, you know, because that turns into this, you know, internal buried anger, like we are angry about it, buried in our heart, and then service. Then we go about our we're nice goody goodies, you know, we're nice, we're behaving, we're going, and then suddenly, it bursts out through, and it's like, because I'm not good at lamenting. That means expressing sorrow, like facing the reality before a living God and trusting him, and then just saying, admitting, like, I'm having a hard time, and I need the Lord to help me, and I'm not living in denial, I'm not looking the other way, I'm just processing it, and that's what the Psalms are saying. And that's why we read them and meditate on them and think about them. And of course, Israel had horrible lamentations. The book of Jeremiah's Lamentations being one example, probably the best one, where they just had horrible, terrible, like the Ukrainians are facing. And, you know, the Jewish captivity, the Babylonians coming in and driving them out and bringing them captive, slaughtering, raping, murdering, etc. And then returning to the prompt, returning later, 70 years later. And, you know, what that story means for us, what that story means in principle.
Amen. It is true that if we know or if we discover that there's some purpose in the pain, then we will be able to endure it. If we find no purpose in it, and if we cannot see God in the midst of it, and we cannot look to him, turn to him, and tell him the truth about what we're experiencing, without him reminding us, listen, you know, I know what you're going through. I'm touched with the feeling of your infirmities. I've been there. And I'm going to get you through this. I think we can endure it as long as we know there's a purpose. We lose that sense of purpose, then it almost seems like a waste of time, a waste of opportunity. I'm just in pain, and there's no purpose in it. But God says, listen, even when you're in great pain, I have a purpose that I'm fulfilling in your life. Well, a few thoughts have come in. Suzette has written to us, says, lamenting maybe God's way of drawing us into his love, him loving us first love, and having him draw us into that love in a deeper way. It's like the deep calls unto the deep. Beautiful. And Monique Davis writes, the Bible says that all things are of God, all things are for our sakes. It also says that all things work together for the good to those who love God. In times of sorrow, even in depression, it's hard to grasp these kinds of promises, but they are still true. Even more so, God uses these seasons to reveal that he is with us. His word is not going to forsake us. He's personal, and he indeed is a very present help in the time of our trouble. That's what I found. That's what he has shown me, that he is God, and whatever he allows in my life has an eternal purpose and value. So stay the course. Great thoughts, Monique. Thank you for sharing them. And our good friend over in France, Dominique de Piazza, says, hello, pastors. Thanks for the message on Lamentations. As a musician, I have learned to express my laments before God, especially those past years, with tears and through music. Often I feel very released when I do it. Appreciate that, Dominique. Thanks so much. Well, just a moment or two left in the broadcast today, Pastor Schaller, but this is clearly a subject that touches all believers, because I'm sure there isn't a single believer that's ever lived that hasn't gone through what we read about in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you and I really know a lot about the subject, right?
No.
At least I don't.
No.
To be honest, I haven't suffered a lot in my life, and I'm not inviting.
Yeah, we're not asking for it.
Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, but being in Warsaw, being in Poland, seeing what a whole nation is going through, to identify with our sisters and brothers, reading the Bible, reading the Book of Lamentations, realizing at the Last Supper, Jesus was preparing the disciples for a huge shift from them hanging out with him and then Pentecost coming and persecution coming. But he said, you know, my Father will send the Comforter. And he did. Wow, did he ever. He sent the Comforter. And we have him. And so let's grow in our pain. Let's process the pain the right way. And let's anticipate better days.
Amen. And we can expect them from God. Thanks for joining us, friends. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you'll join us then.